today as we continue on thinking about how great and how wonderful our God is. We think about perhaps stories that we have maybe lived out ourselves, things that God has done in our lives, in other words, testimonies that we would have, but also things that God has shown to us through His Word, stories that from the Bible that have spoken to us. When we think of this next song, it talks about holding on. And I think about Peter stepping out of that boat and the great faith that he had in stepping out of that boat, but how his eyes got moved off the true prize of Christ. And he starts sinking. And he's like, Lord, what did he say? Lord, save me. And God and Jesus Christ just picks him right on up and he holds on to him. So this chorus that we've sung many times says, I'm holding on, holding on, holding on. Am I? I am is holding on to me, or I am holding on to him? That's the mystery of this song. Think about how it is, right?
There's no space if love can't reach. There's no place you can't find peace.
Working a little bit faster. All right, come on up, Pastor Scott.
Good morning. You may be seated. It's good to see you all this morning. We have some guests with us this morning. I won't point them out, but you can see them. And I will mention that we have some folks who are missing this morning. The Westfalls have a baby shower at which Aunt Karen is there. So friends of Karen, what's that? Bridal shower, I'm sorry. We got to get that straight. So she's at a bridal shower this morning. So it's good to have you with us. We started last week in 1 Thessalonians, and so we're going to do our service a little differently this morning. I want to start in 1 Thessalonians so that we can set the stage for what it is we're doing today and why. Before I get there, though, there are a couple prayer concerns that I think are warranted that we take some time to pray about. Many of you know Alice Murchie from Sunrays Ministries. She has COVID and just found out this morning that she is... she's got a ventilator, and she's in a medically induced coma, and her husband has COVID as well as of a few days ago, so let us take a moment to pray for Alice, and obviously we have some concerns in Afghanistan and so forth, so let's begin by taking these deep concerns to God, that we might leave them there, not that we're over them, so to speak, but so that we can focus on worship and not on these weights upon us. But to recognize that God has that in his hands, he's sovereign, he's gracious, he's loving, So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you've called us together this morning with guests and new visitors and new folks from the neighborhood. We pray that you be teaching each of us, speaking to each of our hearts about your grace and your love, and that we would love you more through this time that we spend together. Lord, we bring these two key concerns. There are many others, I know, but these are heavy on my heart right now. For Alice, her medical condition having deteriorated to the point where she's in a medically induced coma because the doctors feel that's best to have her body rest, a ventilator necessary to help her breathe. Lord, we know that you can raise her to full health in an instant if you so desire. We trust you that you will do your will, that will bring you glory, that will be what is best for Alice and her husband. We pray for his health as well. And we pray that we might see your hand, that we might see that miracle that only you are capable of, that you will receive credit for it, and that others might come to know you because of it. Lord, we bring to you the concerns we have for the crisis in Afghanistan, for those who are trying to get out, for believers who are being sought out, perhaps even hunted down at some level. Lord, we cry out to you for your protection, for your care, for your provision, for your gospel to go out even in the midst of all of that, that even those who are oppressors, those who are persecutors will turn to you,
yes,
that their hearts would be changed, that they would see the reality of your love and grace, that even as Christians perhaps give their lives in your name, that it will touch them, that they might be saved. Lord, it is our desire to see every man and woman and child come to know you. And so we pray that you'd be at work even in these crises situations to bring glory to you. We pray for the hurricane that's about to hit Louisiana. We pray that you might provide shelter and care, that you might perhaps stay the power of that hurricane to have less damage and protect, particularly to protect life. And again, Lord, may your power be seen in that, and may you be given glory rather than blame, that folks would turn to you for your protection, for your grace, for your forgiveness and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you're in 1 Thessalonians, we started last week, and we did sort of an overview of the entire book, just trying to set the stage for what we wanted to talk about, this issue of discipleship in the midst of relationship. And so we started, we read through the first chapter. Today I just want to read the first few verses as we start. So if you have your book, your Bible with you, I'm in the English Standard Version. If you'd like to stand while we read just these three verses. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Last week we had this overview of the entire letter. It was an expression and a demonstration of Paul's love for the people, for the church. Not a building, not how they chose to worship together, but the people of Thessalonica, those who were believers. His desire was to encourage, exhort, and establish them in their faith that they might continue to grow spiritually, even in the midst of affliction and opposition. So today I just want to take a look at these introductory verses, just restart as Paul gives us his overview of what it is he's going to speak about in this letter to the Thessalonians, the areas of life for which Paul wants to commend the Thessalonians and train them more fully in their walk with Christ. Lord God, we pray that you would open this up to us, that we would see it perhaps in a new way, perhaps more clearly, and certainly with what it is you have for us today from it. May it be your message to your people from your word for your glory, and may our time together be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this letter to the Thessalonians, it is addressed from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. As we mentioned last week, Silvanus is another name for Silas. These three men we know as the team from Paul's second missionary journey. He took Silas with him from Antioch. He picked up Timothy in Lystra. And these three men are mentioned in Scripture as those who are highly committed to follow Christ in their own lives, but also to declare the gospel, to declare God's goodness to everyone who will listen. So it's from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And it's written to the church at Thessalonica, the Thessalonians who have become believers. They've reached this point where they heard the gospel. They heard about Paul's opposition in Philippi, where he had been beaten and thrown in jail and run out of town. And then they'd seen his opposition in Thessalonica when the Jews became jealous and wanted to have this riot. And the Thessalonians, even in the midst of all that opposition, they believed. And they became a church family that Paul just loved, because they had, even in the midst of that affliction, they had the joy of the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to follow. So they weren't just a gathering of people, they were a gathering of believers. It wasn't a building, it was a church, even as we are a church, a gathering of believers, brothers and sisters in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a gathering of people, but we're here for a purpose. We're here to worship. We're here to serve the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is at the center of their faith, of their practice, and of their relationships. They loved Paul, and they loved one another. In fact, they had so fully received the gospel that Paul, later in the letter, commends them for their example that was well known, in effect, everywhere and by everyone. The Thessalonians lived their lives so boldly, so out there, so demonstrably following God that everybody knew about it. And so this is the example that we desire to follow. Well, how do we do that as a church family? Well, today, some of you, many of you know that today we've designated to be a celebration Sunday. The message, we've got this little piece here. We've got a shorter piece at the end. To look at Scripture, to see why that's the basis of what we're doing, but we're here to share our lives together. This example that Amherst Baptist Church, that you and I would live in such a way, not that we are, but that we could be held up as an example to others. We don't do this so that we can say, hey, everybody look at us, but we want to live our lives in such a way that God could say, these are my people. They love me. If you watch what they do, you will see what I want to do in your life as well. Not that we are an example, but that we could be, and that God could use us to reach others. That those who to whom that example is set might come to know Christ, they might come to trust God for salvation, and that we might be used in that. So a large part of that example is our love for one another. Also in Thessalonians, we see that on several occasions. Our concern for one another, our involvement in one another's lives to encourage, establish, and exhort one another in the truth of the gospel. To demonstrate that we are Christ's disciples. In John chapter 13, during the Last Supper, right after Judas leaves to betray Jesus, Jesus gives this command, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So to that end, we've set this morning service aside that we might do several things, that we might share together, that we would share victories and praises, that we might encourage one another in celebration and joy, that we might share sufferings and griefs, struggles and pain, that we might bear the burdens and encourage one another in comfort. We're going to sing songs and hear the word of God proclaimed and shared and read, that our hearts and minds would be lifted to dwell on God's truth, his love, and his promises. We'll share updates and announcements of things that are going on, that we might be able to invite one another in fellowship to serve in ministry, to make it a priority to be doing what God has called us to do. We'll share prayer concerns, that we might, in unity, approach the throne of grace in boldness and humility, and we will pray. So I'll invite you to be ready to share prayer concerns, that we might pray together, pray for one another. That we might acknowledge and act upon our dependence on God for our entire lives, trusting in his grace, his love, and his sovereignty to bring about his will, which, without question, is what is best. We'll come back to these few verses later in the service. But I want to have that idea. This is an opportunity for us to be that family, to be that example, to love one another in such a way that other people say, what? I want some of that. I don't know what it's about yet, but I want what they have. Let's live our lives as that example. So first, let me provide an opportunity for a testimony of praise. Someone who's seen God's hand in their lives in these past couple weeks, past couple months. If there's someone who would be ready to share on that side, a blessing that you've received. Bob Goodwill.
As you know, my son Jonathan, since he's been 8 years old, has been wanted to be a pilot. With all this training, people know he's gone through. He's been a flight instructor in Buffalo for a while now. And on Tuesday, he flew to Chicago. Some of you might know this, but Tuesday he went to Chicago, have an interview with Air Wisconsin. They hired him on the spot. You hold on. There's a lot of praying involved in this, too, because 2 days later, or not even about 24 hours later, really, he got a call from, he did a Zoom interview with SkyWest, and they called him Wednesday, to offer him a job there. So the prayer is that he's got a board set up at home, and he's doing the pros and cons of what he wants to do, but we just praise God that he got his wish. Amen. All that training and everything, he's got his wish, and he's going to be a pilot.
Great. Amen. Thanks. Eric, you want to pray for John's wisdom in making that decision? Jonathan.
Sure. Father God, it is good to see the smile on Jonathan's face when I saw him the other day, and just how overwhelmed he is even with the possibilities, and how great it is that that you can use him in this way. I pray, Father, for wisdom in his life, that this young man would hold fast to what it is that you would guide him to, that he would open his mind, his heart to his parents' wisdom as well as to your wisdom, and primarily, Lord God, for him to know the peace of resting in you. And we pray these things in your name, that he might even see the greater things of who you are in his life. Amen.
Amen. Ann, are you ready to share your testimony this morning? Did I see another hand back here? Jason. Please.
Hi. I just wanted to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank you, because I wasn't wanting to do this. I wanted to have somebody else speak that knows what they're doing, like, you know, somebody like Karina down there. I thought, oh, Lord, use her, or use Lynn Serrano. She writes good or whatever, and she can speak very, very well. But the Lord would not leave me alone about it, so here I am. I just wanted to share that in the last 18 months or so, it has been real easy for me not to feel the urgency to witness. Part of this has been fear and feeling detachment. It's probably been more than 18 months because I used the COVID for an excuse, like, I'm stuck in the house, I can't go tell anybody about Jesus or anything. Well, I do pray for family members and neighbors. I do pray about their salvation, but that's all I do. I think, Lord, I prayed, why aren't they saved? I don't really go out and try to make that happen, like talking to them or things like that. I don't want to step on toes. That's been my fear. I've been afraid that they're going to think she's weird, especially with my family. I don't want to be that crazy Aunt Ann that here she is again telling me about religion, or my neighbors, which it's been a trial with that too. Being afraid that, oh no, they're not going to like me. They're not going to want to be with me. And so I keep quiet. I feel like I've been asleep doing the right church things, but not really being on fire for the Lord. I have become like the foolish virgins and have run out of oil. You know the story well about the virgins, the wise ones and the not so wise ones, the foolish ones, that ran out of oil. And recently, I feel like the Holy Spirit has awakened me from a slumber. A lot of it is because of seeing what is happening over in Afghanistan, beheading Christians, things like that. And I thought, would I die for my Jesus? And I just had to think about that. And where am I? Where am I? And so I want that faith. I want that faith so bad that I'm on fire and nobody is going to stop me from telling them about Jesus and what he's done in my life. So I started to wake up and realize my lamp has oil, and how much oil is there? And how many people have lost that oil in their lamp? And because they're not ready to die or to go with their bridegroom, Jesus. My prayer today for myself and all of you is to wake up, check your lamp, and have the oil of the Holy Spirit fill you up. And just this morning when I was preparing for this, the Lord gave me this scripture, Matthew 11:6. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ann. Jason? I'm going to have Jason share his testimony in just a minute, but I'm going to have you pray for Ann first, if you would.
Amen. Yeah. That was worth the price of admission. So yeah. Thank you, Ann. Let me pray. I think we can go home after that. That was very good. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for Ann and her example to us, her testimony of a genuine a Christian, a sister in Christ who desires to follow you, and may we be encouraged by it, may we be challenged by it, and may you work within us. May we desire to walk with you in intimacy with you, to be like you, and may you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would redeem the time, use the days that you've given us to be salt and light, that we would live out the gospel as exiles in this world, and that we would also use our mouths to proclaim the gospel of how you've delivered us and brought us out of darkness and brought us into light. Help us to do that. Help us to be loving neighbors. Help us to be people that just engage and connect with our neighbors. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves because of what you've done in our lives. And I pray that you'd open doors for us with our neighbors, with our communities, and all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I'm loving 1 Thessalonians, thankful for this book of the Bible that Pastor Scott is leading us through. What does it say here? Verse 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So, it's been fun to be in here thinking about that. And I wanted to give a quick update about the University of Buffalo. About a year ago, the University of Buffalo was very dead. It was like a museum. It was like a library. It was a great place to study if you needed somewhere very quiet. You didn't want anyone around, no people, very quiet, easy to park. Just go to the University of Buffalo North Campus. Well, this year it's very, very, very different. The campus is flooded. This week it's just flooded and filled with students. And so it has a feel of getting back to normal. And so we've been out on campus this week meeting students, and it has been fantastic. We've met students from around the world. We were on campus at a huge fair yesterday. Congo, Dubai, Egypt, China, India, all these countries and beyond, and just engaging with students and not only having spiritual conversations with them, but loving them and welcoming them. And so I'm encouraged by what God will be doing this year. I think it's a shift back to normal. There could be bumps along the way with this pandemic as we move forward, but it's exciting to see the world coming to us and the opportunities. This Tuesday, we'll have our first meeting. We'll be having a social gathering. We'll have free Chinese bubble tea, so that's usually a draw for students. They love that. And then on Friday, we'll be taking a bunch of students in a school bus and maybe more buses, maybe more vans to Niagara Falls. So you could be praying for us as we look to share the gospel with these students, not only share the gospel with them, but our very lives, welcome them, love them, and as we get started. So God is at work. Things are getting back to normal at UB. You can be praying for us.
So Jack, I'm going to ask you to pray for that international ministry and UB ministry and so forth. And then we'll have perhaps one more testimony if we're ready, and then we'll go back to worship. Jack?
Thank you, Father, for that testimony from Jason, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that the hearts that are going to be reached for your glory, Lord, will be certainly manifested in a very soon time according to your perfect plan. Thank you, Lord, for Jason's willingness to step out and reach those that desperately need to hear the gospel, the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask that you may bless Jason in a special way. Bless the campus ministry, Lord, at UB in a special way that people are attracted to the love and the care of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and allow many to see the truth, the way and the life in Jesus Christ, and be brought into the room of salvation in Jesus, Lord. For this, we continue to praise you and thank you, Father, for your care and your compassion, willing that no one should be lost, Lord, but you are calling them to salvation. For this, Lord, glorify yourself through the efforts of Jason now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to also add, if I may, okay, that I have truly have also been blessed in different ways. You know, actually, I have had the privilege of talking to Chinese folks in China on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, actually. This one fellow that had attended Wanda Chat while he was here wanted to continue to read through the scriptures. And we had originally completed the entire book of Luke recently, and we were moving on into the book of Acts. He gave me a call some time ago, and he said somebody else would like to join us in this study. And Jason, I don't know if you remember Lee, the dentist, Lee, okay? And he started joining us. And so things looked like they were going well. And we had covered a good part of the book of Acts, which I think is a very exciting book to talk about. And there was a lot of conversation going on. But suddenly, just the other day, James, the other Chinese fellow, said, is it possible that we should could cover some other things, you know, like reading through some type of scientific articles or things like that? Then he really put me in a little bit of a shock. He says, you know, sometimes reading through the Bible is sort of boring. I said, reading through the book of Acts is boring. I'm thinking, well, what does the Lord have in store here? And so Lee, on the other hand, said, well, maybe you could have a combination of science and the Bible. I said, okay, I could deal with that. And so now I'm asking for your prayers in that particular area that would also lead us to a more fuller explanation of the gospel to them. Even though they've been with me for a long time, they still have not received the message of salvation. But even that little touch of when James said the Bible was boring, I recall many years ago, there was another fellow, a Chinese fellow, that used that same phrase shortly before he came to the Lord. So the Lord is working in different ways. I don't understand it completely, but I ask for your prayers. And also, I like to add, you know, sometimes you just have to shout things from the rooftop. I don't want to embarrass my wife here, but I actually mentioned to her today, as I was getting up this morning, and I know she's been up since like 5:30 preparing things, and I said, Rosie, I said, you know the story of Mary and Martha, and I think that Rosie is sort of a beautiful combination of both Mary and Martha. She doesn't hesitate to stand before the Lord or sit at his feet, and she always is ready to pursue the chores of the day, whether it's cutting the grass or making a sausage meat casserole, okay, things like that, and taking care of the grandkids many times. What a blessing she is, and I praise the Lord for her. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and return to worship. There will be time for other testimonies a little later in the service.
Stand with me. Continue to sing of His wonders.
Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky. Heavens are Your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high.
Let's go back to the top.
All creation, water, earth, and sky, the heavens are Your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, You are holy, holy. The universe declares Your
Bible uses when all the way back in Genesis and there beyond, when Abraham looks to his God and he says the word Adonai. He means Lord. So maybe this song, Adonai, holy, holy, holy. Now, if you notice, we don't have any singers back here behind me. So guess what you are? You are the backup singer. So we're going to sing this, and there is obviously an echo part to this. You're going to have to sing it out, church. Lisa's playing way too loud for me to hear too many of you out there. So you're going to have to really belt it. Come on.
Do good. You can sit down.
Yeah.
That was great.
Excellent, excellent.
We have a few announcements this morning. We're starting a new fall semester, if you will. There's lots of things going on. Jeff and Steve are headed this way to share a announcement about the Deacons Fund. But in the meantime, even though they're here already, I have a couple other announcements to share. Every day when we share, we receive prayer concerns, we get them from Facebook, and we share them in service and so forth, and Monday morning, there are a few men who gather together to pray about those same things again and other things that come up. It's, right now, it's Jack Napoli, Rich Baker, and myself. It's on Zoom, and it's available to any man who would like to join us. If you have that time slot, 9:30 to 10:30 available, and want to be part of a prayer team that's praying for our church, I invite you to let me know that. I'll send you the Zoom link for that, and you can participate every Monday morning, 9:30. Now, next Monday morning is Labor Day, so we might do it on Tuesday, but just the same, we try to get together every week and love to have you be part of that. We're also restarting our Thursday night Zoom Bible study, which we started because of COVID and so forth, and it turned out to be a great thing. It was a weekly time together in God's Word. And that will start up not this Thursday, but next Thursday, September 9th. We're in 1 Samuel. We'll continue to tell the story of David. Love to have you be part of that. That link, if you got the link for this morning's service, you also got the link for that Bible study. If you did not, get in touch with me, PastorScott@AmherstBaptist.com, and I'll send you the proper link for that. Thirdly, that was September 9th. September 11th is our Amazing Race. How many of you have been part of Amazing Race in the past? Now, everybody put your hand up and say, who wants to be and should be part of the next Amazing Race, right? That's everybody. This is a kind of an intergenerational, inter-whatever grouping. We just have a lot of fun together. It is a Saturday morning through maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's sort of a scavenger hunt around wherever that region might be, so somewhere in the Buffalo region. We've been up in Niagara County. We've been in Cheektowaga area and so forth. I'm not telling you where we're going this year, probably because I don't know, but that's a different story. But we'd love to have you. It's a matter, you get a team together in a car, 4 or 5 people, have to have an adult driver, and then you're given a clue. And you figure out the clue, and you go to that place, and you do some challenge, and you get the next clue, and you go on, and it's a lot of fun. It really is. And so I encourage you to get a team together to be part of that. And so that's September 11th. Please let Karina know if you're going to put a team together. We also need some volunteers to help out at the various, what we refer to as pit stops. There are probably 13 or 14 of those and need people. And so some of us, we go to the first pit stop, and then we're also at the 7th pit stop and things like that. So there's a lot of organization. You could pray for Karina and those who are helping her. But we'd love to have you be part of it. It'd be a great time to connect with some others in the church. And so we invite you to be part of the Amazing Race. With that, Jeff and Steve, what do you have to say to us this morning?
Well, Pastor Scott, we have plenty to say to you this morning. My name is Steve. This is my associate, Jeff. We are two of your deacons at Amherst Baptist. Rich Baker is our leader, and Randy is off showing his car off to the world, winning prizes. Maybe he'll see this later on video. What we wanted to do is let you know that we're here. We're here to serve the body of Amherst Baptist Church. Whether you're home today, whether you're in the building today, or you know of needs around you, we would like to be a part of meeting those, especially physical needs. We have a budget that is that we are responsible for. We are tasked with doling out, really, to help meet specific needs, to make ends meet, to come to you in an emergency situation when you can't make it financially and if for some reason. We're also here to help you move to your next house or whatever. You know, Jeff loves moving people.
And I don't even have a pickup.
This is the kind of thing that we're likely to show up and help you with. Physical needs, hospitalization, we're there to be with you and your family and pray for you in the hospital stays and things like that. So we really just wanted to alert you that we are still here, we're still praying for you. Call on us, deacons@AmherstBaptist.com. deacons@AmherstBaptist.com gets messages to the four of us, plus I believe the pastors as well monitor that. My associate would like to tell you how we accumulate monies and expend that money.
Thanks, Steve.
That's a hard act to follow. As Steve said, we do fund the Deacons Fund through donations. In the past, we normally would have once a month an offering associated with that. At present, we don't do that. Fortunately, we have been blessed. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that because of your generosity and because of your faithfulness, we have been able to meet every single need that has come to our attention. So I just wanted to exhort you in that way. As a personal testimony, there was a time about 10 years ago when I was looking for a job, and I had been out of job for quite a while. I was approached by the deacons at that time. Now, God had blessed us, and we were able to manage through that extended period of joblessness. But what an encouragement to know that somebody from this body approached me and said, hey, we understand you're going through something. We're here if you need any help. So please don't let anything ever
allow you to think that we're not ready to serve you, because we are. And the one who runs this ministry knows every detail of your lives and is ready and able and willing to serve you as well. So I wanted to encourage you with a scripture that Paul used to exhort the Corinthians in his second letter, and I think it's pretty appropriate to how this ministry operates. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, through the hands and feet of those who have been put in the position of ministering these funds, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everything else." So please be encouraged, please be exhorted, and once again, on behalf of the deacons, we know that you are, in fact, the real hands and feet of this whole ministry, and we appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Do I have time for a quick testimony, off topic? I can't keep it a secret anymore. Maybe my wife doesn't want me to share this, but my wife and I are expecting a new little girl! She is joining us from Germany on Monday. She's a junior in high school. I don't know what you were thinking, but she's her name is Kim, and she's going to be spending the year with us. So she's here in the States now, traveling from New York City to the Buffalo area. And, you know, you'll see her every week back with Joyce and Danielle and my wife and I. And so be praying for her as she travels, and definitely get to know her. I'm sure you will. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to take some time now for some prayer concerns. There are a couple that have come in. Also, just want to mention briefly the deacon's fund, the offering that goes to that. Anytime when you make an offering to the church, that you, as you are led to do so, not that we require it from anyone, but there are offering boxes at the back at the doors. You can do it online. On our website, there's a Give Now button and so forth. And on that Give Now button, there's a place, a pull-down menu that says Deacon's Fund. And that's how you would give to that if you want to do that digitally. But that's how we handle the offering these days, because we don't want to pass plates and all. But encourage you to give as God calls you to give. Beyond praying also for the offering, we want to pray for, her name is Kim, did you say? Kim. Also got a text or a Facebook response from Ellen Kirstorfer this morning. If I have it right, tomorrow is her last day. She's officially retiring. She's mentioned that several times on our Thursday night Bible study that I mentioned earlier. And so we could pray for Ellen as she goes through that that transition. Michael Critacci had knee surgery last Thursday. He's doing very well, but we could pray for him as well. And I want to take care of those kind of issues in the short term. Are there other prayer concerns that any would like to share? Karina? Okay. Karina's dad's wife, he's Al, right? And Tony is the wife, and she's in COVID, she's in ICU with COVID, so we can pray for her as we prayed for Alice Murchie earlier today. Others? Yes. Yeah, you, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Tracy? Ron and Tracy, and in line with Hurricane Ida, that's Carla's sister, so we can pray for that. Okay. Oh, yes, Tim. Excellent. Thanks, Tim. Pray for Tim's family that they would return to a faith that they've expressed in the past but have wandered from. Did I see a hand back here? No. I also had another Facebook note this morning from a fellow by the name of Clinton. He said his family has no food, and so he's asking that there might be somebody to help him with that. We've passed that information along to our food pantry, and so we'll try to reach out and help as we can. But we could pray for Clinton and others like him who are struggling through whatever circumstances they face. We don't know the details, but we know that God knows and has an answer for it. So let's take a moment to pray for these issues. Lord God, we thank you for your great grace in our lives, for your power in our lives to bring us together as a family, to be loving one another, building one another up, praying for one another, serving one another. And so we pray that as we have awareness of these issues, that it might be praying for one another, interceding for one another and for our loved ones, that you would bring healing, that you would bring hope, that you would bring salvation, and that you would restore. Lord, we pray that you'd be at work in each of these things we've just talked about. We pray for Ellen in her transition related to her retirement. We pray that you'd give her wisdom, help her to be a good steward of all you've given her, and to find out what it is you'd have her do with what might be newfound time. We pray for Michael that his continued recovery would go well. We thank you that he's done well so far and has been doing actually extremely well from the reports I've heard. We pray for Tony in ICU, that you might bring healing, that you might speak to Al and Tony through this circumstance to draw them closer to you, to allow them to rest in your comfort. We pray for Ron and Tracy, Carla's sister, in the path of Hurricane Ida. We pray that you would bring protection for them, that you would reveal yourself to them and show yourself powerful and faithful. Pray for my niece, Melissa, who has a house in line with that storm as well. Lord, we pray for Tim's family, that they might be stirred to come back to you, to want to know you more, and to be restored in their faith and in their joy. We pray for Clinton, that you might provide for him, whether it's through us and through our pantry, or whether you have another way to meet that need. And the other needs that that represents, Lord, they are all in your hands. And so we come before you wanting to be obedient and faithful. Show us how you would have us be more generous in whatever way that might require, whether it's time or time to pray or hands and feet to help in some way, or being bold in our witness, as Ann spoke of earlier, that we would represent you well, that your name would be glorified. We do pray for this morning's offering, whether it's our regular offering or the deacon's offering or however you'd have us participate in the ministry you've called us to. Help us not to be tight-fisted, but to be generous, knowing that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills and pour resources into us that they might flow through us to meet the needs around us. Lord, we ask for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a couple other announcements. Catherine, if you'll come up on your way. Let's see, I lost my sheet of paper again. There is a business meeting on September 12th. That's just a couple weeks away. We haven't had a business meeting since COVID. That's not right. That's not good. That's not a chance for us to be together. So plan on that. Sunday, September 12th, after DNA, we'll get together for that. A couple of items that are covered in that. We will give an update on Sheridan Parkside Ministries and so forth. But also, some of you have attended for years and have not yet joined the church. I'm not saying you have to be a member. I'm saying you have an opportunity to be a member if you choose to put your membership here to be part of us, I'll say more formally, thereby having a say in what we do and having some responsibility within the church. Membership is part of that. And so that business meeting would be the opportunity for you in advance to come to us and say, hey, I'd like to be a member, want to hear your testimony, that we know that we're all on the same page in terms of our faith and our belief. And part of being a member, one of the requirements of being a member at Amherst Baptist Church is to be baptized. And so if you have not yet been baptized and would like to be, we have some on that list already. That will be coming soon as well. So just to give it some thought about membership and baptism and that business meeting on the 12th. Catherine.
For students who are going back to school, because starting this week, I know in our family at least we have some starting this week, some starting next week. So remember students as they're returning to school, elementary all the way up through college age. Having said that, and knowing that fall is coming and that it's time to kind of kickstart some different ministries that we participate in and provide here at Amherst Baptist, Awana is going to resume beginning September 22nd. And Awana is a tool for us to use, and we have for a number of years, and it allows us time to spend with kids for an hour and a half once a week to teach them how to memorize God's Word, to teach them what God's Word says, sometimes to introduce them to who God is and what a church is. So we have kind of a wide variety. We've had a wide variety over the years of students who participate in this ministry. And so I want you to be aware that that is restarting again. And that's for kids who are in pre-K up through sixth grade. And along with restarting that, of course, we always need volunteers to help run a ministry like Awana. And we have kind of a core group of volunteers who have faithfully served over the years. But if you are interested in participating in that, then I invite you to talk to me about that, and we can let you know how to be a part of that. We will have a volunteer meeting on the week before, on Wednesday, the 15th of September at 6:30. And just to say, you know, programs like that are, they're wonderful, and I'm glad that people are smart enough to come up with wonderful programs for churches to use. But Eric and I and Scott and Laura attended a marriage conference this past weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with a group of pastors. And one of the things that was kind of an encouragement to us, a challenge to us, is that we can have wonderful programs, we can have wonderful preaching and teaching and great skills and all kinds of levels of ministry, but if we don't have love, if that's not the first expression of what we do and the reason behind what we do, then according to 1 Corinthians 13, it means
nothing.
And so that was a great encouragement, I think, to us as your ministers, you know, people who minister to you here. But I also use that as an encouragement to you, that if you think you don't have skills to work with kids, or that it's just way too much, or, you know, I could never do that, then I would just ask the question, can you love people? Because at the bottom and at the basis of anything that we do here, it is extending the love of Christ into somebody else's life. In the case of Awana, it's kids. And so I invite you to be a part of that. Also, there's another slide coming, I think, too. We have a wonderful group of college age and professional young adults here. And so looking to build more community and more fellowship in a particular segment of that, we are organizing a young women's retreat. And that is going to be October 15th through 17th in Ellicottville. And we have a wonderful house reserved for us to spend some time together, and get to know each other, spend some time in the Word together. So if you are a part of that age range, we can be flexible. What a young woman is. Okay, I don't fit the up to 30 category, but I'm going to go and spearhead that. But if you know people who fit in that, or that you want to encourage to be a part of that, we would love to have as many of you young women to be a part of that that would like to. It's $100 per person, and that covers our food and our stay and all that kind of stuff. So you can see me to sign up to be a part of that.
Thank you. And Catherine's comments about love being the foundation, that also is worth the price of admission this morning, that would be our focus. I did say would be time for a couple other testimonies, if someone else would like to share a testimony of what God's been showing them, how God has blessed them in these past couple weeks or months. I don't want to drag it out, but I want to have opportunity for those of you who might have something to say. Jerry?
Thank you. Two things. One, I'm still praising God that I'm walking again, because it was so long that I was off my bad foot, and that's really cool. But, you know, God, I just shake my head sometimes. So I walked really good for 3 weeks, and then I had this weird heart thing and heart attack, and, you know, that was just like, really? And I still, you know, but I have to always choose, is God good enough, no matter what my life looks like at the moment, and my physical body is only physical, and my spirit man is really good. So God and I are doing really good, and, you know, the body's doing whatever the body's doing. But I'm praising God that he's working on my attitude. Mm-hmm. because that's tough. Secondly, many of you know my daughter, Rachel, is a full-time missionary in Costa Rica, and she recently went back. And just praise, if you don't get her newsletter, you can sign up for it if you want. But she is getting right back in. Like this week, I think she was in 8 meetings and reconnecting with 8 different ministries, because that's what she does. She's independent, but she connects with all different kinds of ministries. And the prayer right now is they found an office downtown. Now, she works with, I say, how young are we? You know, she works with street people who have a profession we don't usually have. And they want to have something right close to where their working town is. And they found an office. It's about the size of a large bedroom, but that's what, in San Jose, Costa Rica, that's an office. But they're very excited, and the plan is to go in tomorrow and put money down and sign a lease, which is supposedly a 3-year lease, but after 1 year you can get out of it. So just pray, please. You know, God, is this a yes? Is this the open door to an office? They've been wanting one for 3 years, and it's like, oh, is this it? Is this it? Because then they can do ministry right up close, and people not being able to get to it is not an excuse. So, opportunity. But I'm excited with my daughter. Pray.
Amen. Thank you. Eric, if you'd pray for Rachel and that ministry, and perhaps for Jerry's attitude, is that what I heard? Yeah. If you'd pray for that, and then lead us in another song.
Well, Father, we are so grateful for the way that you call your servants into ministry. We thank you for this young lady, Rachel, Lord God, and how you have used her and how you have connected her and how you have given her such a heart for the people there in San Jose, and particularly for those ladies. And Lord God, I just thank you for the way that you work in us and around us, Lord God, throughout this world. I pray, Father God, that you would drive us to lift up Rachel. Yes, lift up other missionaries, yes, but also for us to take hold of that fire and to be that spark of life for people, to reach out to the least and the most needy, the spiritually distraught. And I pray, Lord God, that your gospel would go out from us and with beauty and with grace and with tenderness and with power. And I pray, Lord God, for Jerry as she continues to work through and struggle through just understanding you in relation to her physical ability and her foot and other things that are going on around. I just pray, Lord God, that you continue to work in her life. Let's sing this together.
Bright heaven sun, heart of heart, whatever befalls. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of mine, own heart, whatever
back at 1 Thessalonians. The end of the first verse or second verse is grace to you and peace. And I know in the past I've mentioned the fact that grace was kind of a Greek greeting and peace is a Jewish greeting, shalom. But of late it's come more clear to me that this is really because of God's grace, because of the grace we have from God, we can have peace with God. Only through his grace can be reconciled to him, only through Jesus Christ. So grace to you and peace is just this quick summary of the gospel. It's all God's work, and we can be reconciled to God because of what Jesus has done. So it continues from there. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, as throughout the letter, we see the depth of Paul's engagement with these people. Always, for all of you, I constantly remember you in my prayers. We, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, all together. Last week we talked about Paul's love for these people. Elsewhere in this letter, he talks about we've shared our own selves, not only the gospel, we've shared our own lives with you, as Jeff shared earlier. We work day and night to not be a burden to you. We thank God constantly for you. We have a great desire to see you face to face. We pray most earnestly for you night and day that we might come to you. And in this case, always, constantly, we're praying for you in gratitude. So in gratitude, as Paul, Timothy, and Silas pray for the church at Thessalonians, they remember before God three things: their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we look at those three phrases, does that sound familiar to you at all? Your faith, your love, your hope. Or perhaps it would be more familiar if I rearranged them. Faith, hope, and love. Does that sound familiar to you? By the time Paul writes his letter that we know as 1 Corinthians, he talks about faith, hope, and love. He ends chapter 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. As Catherine just shared from 1 Corinthians 13, if we have great communication skills, if we have great knowledge, if we have great wisdom, if we have great everything but have not love, we are nothing. We're a clanging gong and a crashing cymbal. We're nothing without love. And so here again, Paul encourages them in their work of faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness of hope. So if we look at their work of faith, it's what Paul wants to encourage them through the rest of this letter. This is still introductory. I want to talk to you. I'm remembering before God these three things, and I'm going to talk to you about them, encourage you in them, exhort you in them, establish you in them, as he talks about faith, love, and hope. So we see in the first chapter, as we reviewed last week, that the Thessalonians had come to believe that they have faith because they've turned to God from idols and serve the living God. And so Paul is thanking God for their work of faith, the fact that they believe, the fact that they've set idols aside and are pursuing God. In chapter 4, we find out that Paul says to them, hey, you've been taught by God himself to love one another, and you're doing it. Do it more and more. And so he thanks God that they for their labor of love. And then in the context of affliction, this whole letter to the Thessalonians, it was Paul coming from Philippi, just having been beaten and thrown in jail. He comes to Thessalonica. The Jews get jealous. There's a riot. They run him out of town. All this affliction. In the midst of all of that, he says to them in chapter 1, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction. Paul had been afflicted. Jesus had been afflicted. And the Thessalonians say, we're in. If this is what God requires of us, even in the midst of affliction, we will have the joy of the Holy Spirit and we will hold to our faith. Later in chapter 2, he says, you suffered the same things from your own countrymen that the churches in Judea suffered from the Jews. More affliction. They were mistreated by their own countrymen. Also, just their steadfastness of hope, even in affliction, holding to the faith. Even in suffering and affliction, you have remained steadfast, holding to the truth. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, and you're waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. The focus on the gospel, the focus on the resurrection of Christ, the focus on the opportunity for us to be resurrected in relationship with God. This gospel that just goes throughout this letter to the Thessalonians, a reminder of what they've already heard, a reminder of what they already know, the gospel in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. We thank God for your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in what Christ has done, what he has paid, what he has accomplished that allows us to have that hope. And hope is not wishful thinking. It is confident expectation. It is assurance that we have resurrection through Jesus Christ. Salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation with our Creator, only through Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Grace from God that we might have peace with God. Yeah. This is Paul's introduction to what he's going to talk to the Thessalonians about. He wants to encourage them. He wants to build them up, even as we want to build one another up, even as we've shared concerns. We've shared where God's at work in our lives, where he's challenged us. That's a good thing. If you don't have challenges in your life where God's pushing you a little bit further, not that we're always beating ourselves up saying, oh, I got more to do. It's that God has so much more for us, and it's always what is best. Huh. Will you submit to that? Will you say, God, if I need to be, you know, cuffed upside the head about something, then do that so I would be who you want me to be, where you want me to do, where you want me to be serving in the way you would have me serve, that your name would be glorified. Not so that we can say, hey, we're examples for you to follow, but that we would live in such a way that God could say, have you seen my servant, Jeff? Have you seen my servant, Andy? Have you seen my servant, Rebecca? Hmm. They're serving me the way I've called them to. Does your name fit in that? Can God say, hey, I just want you to see? You know, Jack just held up Rosie as an example for us of being a Mary and a Martha, a combination. Do we all have that experience in our lives where people look at us and say, I want some of that. I want that faith. I want that joy. And so that's where we're going to go as we go into Thessalonians, as we continue this study together. It is about loving one another, serving one another, praying for one another, being the family that he's called us to be. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together in your word today. Short, just a little bite. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But that we would be steadfast in our hope, that we wouldn't be pulled aside because of affliction, that we would be steadfast in our faith, that we would turn from idols, that we would not let something to crawl in and creep into our lives, but that we would have our eyes fully and firmly upon you, serving the living God, and that we would be steadfast in our love for you, first of all, and for others. The greatest commandment, love God, love others. Lord, build that into us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, normally after our church service, we have what we refer to as DNA, discussion and application. It's what we have sort of as a Sunday school class. It's normally a discussion of what we've just talked about here. But today, because it's a celebration Sunday, we've chosen instead to have a fellowship following. So we invite you to stay. There's some finger foods, snacks and desserts and so forth out in the lobby. I invite you to stay for that and just get to know one another a little bit more, that we might love one another a lot more for God's glory. Eric, if you'd close us out.
Just we want to wrap things up today with just some songs of just glory to our King. We're going to start with Christ Be Magnified. You go to I Exalt Thee. Lift up your voices.
We're creation suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing His imminence, His name would burst from sea and sky. From rivers to the mountain tops, we hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, in every human heart its native pride. And when one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. From the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt. I exalt Thee, I exalt, oh, I exalt Thee, oh, Lord. Heart high above all the earth.
His holy, holy name. You are exalted here and above this earth, Lord God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are God, our Jesus. You are Lord, you are King of kings. And we profess it with our mouths and with our hearts today. We shout to the north, we shout to the south, we shout to the east, we shout to the west. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And deserving of our praise, and he's deserving of our worship today. Amen.
Men of faith, rise up and sing.
Come on.
Of the great and glorious King of you, in a brokenness complete.
Sing that again. Lift it up.
Men of faith, rise up and sing. Of the great and glorious King, you are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete.
Come on, church, shout!
Oh, shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all. Rise up, women of the truth. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. High again will fly. Won't you shout to the north and the south? Fine by the power of his name. We've fallen deeper in love with you. You burn the truth on our lips. Won't you shout to the north and the south? Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Rise up, church.
Rise.
rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. That's worth singing again. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Won't you shout to the north and the south? Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Let's go fellowship. Pray with each other, love each other, go forth and be the church of Christ out there.